1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On today's edition of the program, the White Sox are beating down the Astros. We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Jose Canseco. We talk with him about his boxing career, his surgery, and how his recovery is going, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no game with Brian. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. So if you have insurance needs and you haven't called him yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Find him online at brianismyagent.com. That's RyanIsMyAgent.com, and make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. A couple of weeks ago, I was invited on the Louisiana Sports Talk Radio. It was the Astros flagship station, so the flagship for the Astros in Louisiana. They wanted to talk about the White Sox, their progress, and how they'd fare against Houston. Of course, there was an Astros bias. Why wouldn't there be? When I made a joke about trash cans, the hosts weren't happy. When I said the White Sox were a deep team, they said, well, the Astros are pretty good too. Sure. The Astros beat the White Sox all season. True. But something inside of me told me those tides were going to change. Just in case you don't know, or you're new to the channel, I do not believe in the Astros. I will never buy into them as a team. And yes, that's a personal vendetta. I'll be completely honest with you, it's a personal vendetta. I do not like what they did before. When I saw White Sox fans throw an inflatable trash can onto the field the other day, I said yes. I did. Because what they did to the game wasn't good. That's a big black mark. Wasn't just them. Other teams did it too, but the difference is they won the World Series in a year in which they shouldn't have. Players were paid money based on those numbers, now can't put up the same ones. So it's unfair to team ownership. It's unfair to the rest of Major League Baseball. And it's unfair to you. Very unfair to you. Unfair to Dodger fans. Lost the World Series. Unfair to Yu Darvish, who imploded in the playoffs and missed out on a bigger payday. See what I mean? These all had big consequences for different people. It wasn't just, oh, they cheated and everything's fine. No. There was a ripple-down effect and everybody got affected. That is my issue with this. Go ahead and cheat. Do what you want. But when other people get affected, when money's involved, that's a problem. I don't want to get too far into it. If you know me by now, you know how I feel about it. I've done so many videos about this. I've talked at length about this on my old radio show back in college. So if you don't know by now, then I suggest you go back and watch a few more videos on it. The point being, I will never believe in the Houston Astros. Because the thought will always come into my head, are they cheating? You might think that's ridiculous, but I don't. And when Barry Bonds had 73 home runs and then the steroid accusations came up, did they ever go away? No. That's why at the end of his career, he was blackballed. At 41 years old, the guy hit 270, 900-plus OPS. He didn't retire. He wasn't signed because everybody knew, and they weren't going to deal with that. So to me, the Astros are in that same boat. Now we hear the constant scrutiny. Oh, the White Sox aren't as good as them. Really? Why'd they beat them 10-1 on Saturday? Why is Carlos Rodon carving them up as we speak? I love this White Sox team. Remember, too, I'm not a Sox fan. I'm not a fan of anybody. This is objective. They are a damn good baseball team. How can you argue with this rotation? Giolito, Cease, Keuchel, Lynn, Rodon. Lynn got an extension. We'll talk about that in a minute. All of these guys are great starting pitchers. This team is officially World Series bound. I'm saying it now. It's not a hot take. When you have five good starting pitchers in the playoffs, you're going everywhere. Look what they're doing to Houston right now, carving them up. Imagine a seven-game series when you'd have to face, possibly, Giolito twice, Keuchel twice, Lynn twice. Good luck to anybody. You could have Rodon pinch, Cease out of the bullpen. I mean, these are great pitchers that you have. Good closer in Liam Hendricks. And this lineup, I can't get over this lineup. Look, I'll be frank, I didn't see this team being consistent with the bats. I didn't see them all year having an OPS plus above 100, having eight guys in their lineup with an OPS plus above 100. It's the end of July. It's still happening. How's that possible? Look at this team. There's Monty Grandal, Jose Abreu, Tim Anderson, Moncada, Vaughn. Adam Engel is doing good. He just came back. I mean, these guys are great. They're hitting a baseball. I want to read this quote to you from MLBTradeRumors.com. Great website. This is about the Lance Lynn signing. Quote, securing Lynn keeps another member of Chicago's impressive core in place. Carlos Rodon is the only member of the rotation not currently signed through next season. The White Sox control Dallas Keuchel and Lucas Giolito through 2023 and Dylan Cease through 2025. The White Sox have been wisely proactive about signing their young core to extensions. Yoan Moncada is under contract through 2024. Eloy Jimenez and Aaron Bummer through 2026. And Luis Robert through 2027. Free agent signings Liam Hendricks and Yasmani Grandal also have contracts that run through 2024 and 2023 respectively. Other young talents like Nick Madrigal, Andrew Vaughn, and Michael Kopech have yet to even begin the arbitration process. Remember when I told you all a couple of weeks ago? It's not imperative for this team to win the World Series this year. It'd be great. I'd be happy. I think they could. But it's not imperative. This is why. No GM is perfect. Rick Hahn did give up Fernando Tatis Jr. for James Shields. But every move, for the most part, has been perfect and has been wisely planned out by Rick Hahn. Look at all these guys who are extended on this team. This is what the Cubs should have done. Tank notes, Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer. The White Sox purposefully extended their window. Didn't have to, but chose to. Extending Lynn, Giolito, Cease, under contract for next year. Moncada, Jimenez, Bummer, Robert, Hendricks, Grandal, Madrigal, Vaughn, Kopech, all under contract for next year and some beyond. Take notes. Every GM in baseball, take notes. It's just so smart. The White Sox are committed to sustained success. How many times have you heard those words on my program? Sustained success. Not 1 year World Series, 5 years of misery, then rebuild. Sustained success. The White Sox have extended all these core players. If some guy's under contract through 2026, that's why it's not imperative for them to win the World Series now. Doesn't mean they can't. Doesn't mean they don't want them to. But it's not even imperative. They could get bounced in the ALCS. Doesn't matter. They'll come back even stronger the year after. Here's the best part, though. They actually have the talent to win the World Series today. Imagine a 7-game playoff series with Rodon, Keuchel, Giolito, Lynn. You kidding me? How are you supposed to win that? Any team. Even the Astros. Astros are getting carved up right now by Giolito and by Rodon. How in the world are you supposed to win a series when those are the four pitchers you may have to face? And we all know in the ALCS World Series, it's going to be a 3-man rotation. Who gets left out? Who comes out of the bullpen? That's the best problem in the world to have if you're Tony La Russa. I love how proactive they've been. And I love what they've done to ensure future success. Too bad the Cubs didn't do it. Now they're rebuilding. This is the way it has to be. You want to be a contender? If you think you're good? You want a dynasty, multiple World Series? Well, then you have to make sure everyone's under contract. You can't be making desperate trades like Jose Quintana. You can't be saying, we have no money. You can't make irresponsible moves with the money you do have, signing Jason Hayward to a $180 million contract. I actually believe Rick Hahn looked at Theo and said, I'm not going to do that. Did the complete opposite. Look what worked out. Look what happened. Now they extended Lance Lynn. $18.5 million for 2 years. Sign me up. That's a bargain. Really, it is. You're paying a guy $18.5 million for putting up a 2 ERA. 2 ERA today could bet you $30 million. That's a team-friendly deal. And Lynn likes it here. Enjoys the area. He'll be great. He's always been underrated. No one really knows about him. Kind of flown under the radar, but quietly strikes out a lot of guys and eats innings. He's insulted if he doesn't go 200 a year. He takes it personally. That's a guy I want on my team. So now he's under contract. They have Giolito. The only other guy who could be on the outside looking in is Rodon, who's under a 1-year deal. They could extend him. And you have Keuchel. This rotation will stay intact for next year and the year beyond. And you've got all these young players. Your core is 10 times more talented than the Cubs' core ever was. I'm not speaking as a White Sox fan. I'm being unbiased here. It just is. It's a way better core. More pieces, more talent, more upside, more potential. It just is. And more productive. There's a difference between hyping somebody up and them actually performing. The Cubs, all kinds of hype. Great marketing scheme. White Sox, not as much hype, but everybody does their job and they win. You can market all you want, use social media and run ads, but at the end of the day, all I'm looking at is the win column. Did you win or lose? Are you a good team? Or do you say you're a good team? And your fans, for that matter. This is actually a good core. They don't strike out 200 times and walk 20, like Javier Baez. They don't pitch 5 innings and give up 5 runs. Strike out a lot, but don't do much else, like Albert Alzolay. They're actually talented. They actually put up numbers. It's a team sport. That's what I love about this team. There really isn't an ego, per se. Everyone's aware of their role. They all know that, hey, it's a talented corp. We all work together. And it turns out they're winning. I appreciate that. I appreciate the humble attitude, the team effort, the emphasis on team, not me, but team. And the fact that they recognize we can't do anything unless we work together as one. Lance Lynn's a great starter, but the Sox need 4 other good ones to win. They know that. Everyone acknowledges it, and they all perform. I don't know how you can't love this team. As a baseball fan, I'm not talking Cubs or White Sox. I'm saying as an objective baseball fan, put on that lens for a second. Take off your Cubs or your White Sox cap and put on the objective baseball lens. When you look at the White Sox from the outside and you analyze their numbers, you watch their games, you see this team, their talent, their lineup, their rotation, their bullpen. How could you not like this team? How could you not see World Series right away? I see it. So apparent. They are going to be very good, not just this year, but for 3 to 7 years. And that's a correct window, by the way. A good window, 3 to 7 years. The Cubs thought it'd be 3 to 7 years, but it ended up being 1. Not 2, maybe, if you want to count 2015. Big difference. They see 3 to 7 years, and they execute it. They signed everybody, for the most part, for 3 to 7 years. Everyone, with the exception of Rodon, is at least signed through next year, which means they could run it all back. Something bad happens this year, well, doesn't matter. Go to the next year. We'll do it again. I cannot give Rick Hahn, these players, this manager, enough credit for being where they are today. I've always told you, I'm not a hater of anybody. I'm objective. If you deserve the praise, you're going to get it. This team deserves it. This is the most successful team in Chicago right now. I know everyone's freaking out about Justin Fields. They haven't played a game yet. Right now in the moment, this team is executing, performing, putting up numbers to show we're damn good. And that, to me, has to be appreciated. Understand that this is probably the best White Sox team in decades. I'm even talking better than 2005. Seriously. You better make sure you appreciate this and realize just how good they are and what's to come for this team. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Jose Canseco comes up next. Stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago. Here with Chadwick Lowell, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's a 2-time World Series champion, 6-time MLB All-Star, the 1988 AL MVP. Please welcome Jose Canseco to the program. Jose, it's great to have you on again. How are you?
Well, good to be here. You caught me. I was outside. Of course, I live in Vegas. I think it's 115 today. Maybe, might be cooler, maybe. Bought a new house. I was working on landscaping, pool, pond, all kind of stuff. I'm like a handyman out here.
What do you do? How do you maintain that stuff?
Well, I had a little storm come in last night. Kind of blow some branches and trees and kind of destroyed one of my umbrellas. So fixing that, fixing the pool with pumps and the koi pond. I've got about 12 large koi in there. Again, pumps went out. So we are redoing the pump.
How are you feeling? How'd the surgery go on your shoulders?
Oh, boy. Well, right after, I don't know if people really know this, but when I did the fight, I was already hurt. I think people realize that I had knee surgery 3 months before that fight. Complex meniscus tear, they call it. So, and I had an x-ray done, or an MRI done right after that. I had a bicep tendon tear, rotator cuff tear. I actually went into that fight knowing that I had really no chance. I remember my boss goes to him, listen, just try to throw a jab. And if you miss with that, you're going to be in trouble. So I threw a jab. When I threw a jab, I threw it so hard, I tore my pec right out of place, like tore the belly of the actual pec muscle. So after that, it was over. I mean, the kid came at me. I moved to my right. My knee buckled. I went down. When I went down, I braced myself, completely tore my bicep tendon and my rotator. So went in for surgery right away. I'll tell you what, I've had 11 surgeries. And shoulder surgery, by far, after the surgery and before, the greatest pain I've ever had physically ever. It was just excruciating pain. Even after the surgery, it was bizarre. And then all of a sudden, after surgery, about 2-3 weeks, the pain just went away. So now I'm actually starting to rehab, get in there, get some range of motion, do some weightlifting.
When do you expect to fully recover and get back in the ring?
Well, it's going to be a while because this time I'm not going to box again without being 100% healthy.
Sure.
Meaning the knee's going to be 100%. The show's going to be 100%. I've got to train for about 3 or 4 months. So I don't think people understand that I was under a time restriction about 3 weeks to get ready for this fight. And I really could get ready for it. But they insisted that I got in there. I fight. I do the best I could. I do the best I can at the time. And they kind of knew they were going to break all kind of pay-per-view records for Barstool Sports, and we did.
Could you ever see yourself fighting with them again under the Barstool label?
Absolutely. I don't see why not. I would love a rematch. I think this time it'll be a totally different match. I mean, no one basically hit anyone. He threw a couple punches and missed me completely when I was going down. I couldn't even hit him. So it was a 10-second fight, obviously. I don't even think it was a fight. It was ridiculous. And I think once I completely healthy, I'll probably fight. I just turned 57, close to 58 when we'll do this fight. And I think people want to see what I can really do.
Do you have any opponents in mind? Anybody that you really want to fight?
Well, Alex Rodriguez, of course. I've always wanted to fight him. Him and I go way back. I have a big grudge against him. I'm sure he won't get in the ring, even if I tie both arms behind my back and hop on my leg. He's that much of a chicken. But, yeah, if I can get him in the ring, definitely.
Have you tried to set something up before with him?
Absolutely. He won't even listen. I told Jennifer Lopez about him. I mean, this guy's cheating on Jennifer Lopez right in front of her face. He's inviting women over his house, over Jennifer Lopez's house, when Jennifer Lopez wasn't even there. Because these women, I know them, they would call me every time they were with Alex. Every time he called my ex-wife, I would be there with my ex-wife. She would show me, look, here's Alex Rodriguez calling me again. So this guy is just I mean, what more can you want than Jennifer Lopez? And he's cheating on her left and right. It's just ridiculous.
Jose Canseco, you're on Sports Talk Chicago. Jose, how shocked or really not shocked were you when they called it quits?
Well, I said exactly when it was going to happen, how it's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you who he's with. He's going to be with a fitness model, if not my ex-wife, Jessica. I mean, people, the truth hurts. And I don't think, you know, us as humans are built to handle the truth. But I know now she was 18 years old. Him and I kind of think alike in some ways and in some ways not. I know exactly what he likes in a woman. He loves young fitness models. And, you know, he's young. He's a millionaire. And I told him, since he was a little kid, listen, do not get married. Do not get involved because you're going to have so many women after. You're going to be the best player in the world. You're going to do the 40-40. He laughed at me. And look, that's what he's become. So, you know, I've known him since a very long time ago. I predicted exactly what's going to happen. I'm the one that told him, go to Texas. They're going to pay you an incredible amount of money. You have this first $250 million contract because they have a brand new ballpark and they need a draw. And he went there, and they did. So, I mean, you have to understand, I just know Alex very well. I kind of know what his tendencies are. And I don't know why he got hooked up or in a relationship with Jennifer Lopez when he was never going to marry her. Can you imagine, people, what the prenup is going to look like? It's going to be a prenup of, you know, three feet deep, thick. And then the prenup, Jennifer Lopez has to put, Alex, if you cheat on me, every time you cheat on me, it's going to cost you $10 million. And I'm sure that once the actual sort of being serious about the wedding date or the wedding time or the conditions of the prenup, I'm sure that's when everything really fell apart.
It seemed like a good influence on him. I mean, you told him where to go, you told him what to do, and he listened to you. So where did the relationship go wrong?
Oh, when he went after my wife, Jessica, at the time. He saw her in the gym with me, and he literally said out loud, he spoke out loud. He didn't realize I was right off his right-hand side. Said, oh, my God, that's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And when her, and then he started going after her, and then when her and I got separated, I think they actually got together in some way, shape, or form. So I actually confronted him about that and asked him, listen, were you ever with my wife, Jessica? He said, no. But ironically enough, I found out later on that they were. As a matter of fact, Alex used the line. He says, I'm a man's man. I would never do that. Alex is the biggest liar I've ever seen in my life, the biggest hypocrite I've ever seen in my life. When Alex tells you I'm a man's man, I would never do that, you know he's lying.
What if you set up a fight for charity? Do you think he'd be willing to do that if you guys donated money to charity and did a fight with him? Would you be open to that?
He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it if I gave him the lion's share, if I gave him the whole amount. He just wouldn't do it. It would be too embarrassed to let a guy of my age whoop him in the ring. And let me tell you, I would, because, again, I would not fight under the same conditions I fought last time. I don't think I fought healthy, period, in any of my boxing matches or any of my MMA that I did against Hung Manchu. I had a really bad knee. So I would definitely go in 100% healthy and 100% trained.
What about age, though? He is younger than you. Should that be a problem?
No, it would not be a problem. Not if I'm healthy and if I train hard enough. No.
How quickly would you knock him out?
I don't know. I mean, Alex is an athlete now. He's a big guy, about 6'3". I would say Alex is about 6'3", about 230. And now he's talking about training, weightlifting. He wants to get rid of his dad body. I don't know. I mean, Alex is a tough cookie. He's an athlete. He's strong. He's coordinated. He's a lot younger than I am. I think it would be an excellent match.
What's the strategy on your end in defeating A-Rod? How do you beat him in the ring?
Well, it's not going to be on stamina, that's for sure, because I would probably fight him at 58. I would have to go in a lot heavier than him. I would have to push. I'd have to go in about 280 pounds, trained, ready to go lean, and basically just bully him around. Try to just out-muscle him in the ring and hit him with the blunt force trauma.
Let me ask you this, Jose, and I'm sure a lot of other people have asked you this question before. Have you ever thought about extending the olive branch to A-Rod and making peace with him?
Why would I do that? First of all, the guy's a narcissist. He's half crazy. No, absolutely not. I mean, the things that he's done, the way he's actually done them, no, absolutely not.
Is there anything that would have to happen for that to happen? Anything that it would take for you to make peace with him?
If that would ever happen, there's no buts about it. That's not even a relevant question. It just won't happen.
So you never see it happening. It's never possible for you and him to make up, to talk about it man to man and see if something could come of it.
Absolutely not, because I've actually called him out several times. I've confronted him on social media several times to call me. He won't do it. The issue is he knows he's completely wrong. He knows I'm completely right. He knows that I know him well. He knows that every time I open my mouth, I speak the truth, and that's it. And most people can't handle the truth.
Why do you think he's ignored you? I mean, you guys had a great relationship before. Why do you think now, all of a sudden, years later, he won't even talk to you?
That's a good question for him. You should probably get him on Chicago Sports Radio and ask him, why are you ignoring Jose Canseco?
Jose Canseco here on Sports Talk Chicago. Jose, is it true that aliens don't like A-Rod?
I don't know of anyone that likes A-Rod, so I have to include that, you know, aliens, Bigfoot, other universes. Yeah, I don't think anybody likes him.
How about some of your other claims on Twitter? I mean, some of them a bit unbelievable. You said that John McAfee and Tupac are still alive. You've been all over the place and gotten so much engagement. Can you confirm any of those?
Well, obviously, people, you can't believe everything you hear on Twitter. There's some things I say that actually are just for fun, to get a laugh or a hoot. And if people are going to sit there and believe everything every individual says on social media, then we have a problem in our society.
What's the next big take you're going to put out on Twitter?
I don't know. You know, obviously, I'm working on this invention that I've got, the PX4040, which is pretty much done. I'm going to come out. Hopefully, we can get out in the market around Christmas time. It's a power extender. You actually put this thing on your lead arm, and it extends power to the zone. It fixes your swing instantly and extends power to the zone the way it's actually built. It's going to revolutionize the art of power.
How did you come up with that idea?
Well, years back, I actually teach the art of power hitting. And people, don't get confused. The art of hitting and the art of power hitting are two different worlds. The art of hitting is basically letting the ball travel deep in the zone and spraying it around, basically staying too far inside the ball. The art of power hitting is getting in the proper angle, create proper compression, rotation, and lift. You're maximizing distance. So I created this device that actually puts you in that position every single time you swing, whether it be baseball, softball, or golf.
Are you confident in the ball traveling further with this new invention?
100%. It's basically, when you see the structure of it, it can't do anything but that. It's like a scientific fact.
Is it legal?
Yes. You can actually put it on and use it. I originally created it as a teaching tool, but it kind of evolved also into a product. You can actually put it on an actual game. And a softball, baseball, or golf ball, depending on how many strands you actually put on and how much flexing you want. Softball or baseball can go 30, 40 feet further, and a golf ball instantly 30 to 40 yards further.
So what's the next step? You said you plan on coming out during Christmas time. How do you plan on selling this and getting this to the market?
Well, of course, social media, maybe some infomercials, stuff like that. You got to start simple.
How much would today's players in baseball benefit from this?
Wow. It may not benefit the professional Major League Baseball. As a matter of fact, Major League Baseball may outlaw it. And I'll tell you why, because it works too well. It works as an external bionic. So the best thing would be is if I give it to a Major League Baseball player, even a minor league baseball player, they put it on, and somehow Major League Baseball says, is being banned because it works. The major leagues is only 1% of the actual sales market. That's the actual community I'm telling you for. The rest is the individual who wants to learn a proper swing, the weekend warriors, the guys that want to hit a golf ball further, baseball further, guys who really are not professional athletes.
Could you see yourself maybe working out a deal with Major League Baseball to bring this to the market, or is that relationship fractured?
That's beyond fractured. My relationship with baseball, because I told the truth, I'm extremely honest, is beyond fractured.
Have you ever had any talks with them recently or after your career about, again, extending the olive branch and making peace and having you come back to be an ambassador of the game?
No, they completely blackballed me, I think, 2001. They completely turned their back on me. Major League Baseball and the Player Association, both. I mean, imagine the Player Association, we're supposed to represent players, completely turned their back on me also. So no, it's fractured beyond belief.
Why did they target you and no one else? We know of steroid users in the Hall of Fame. We know of steroid users completely backed by the Players Association. Why are you the outlier?
Well, you got to have a scapegoat. You have to have an individual to make an example of. I mean, I did kind of bring steroids into Major League Baseball. I used them. I taught players how to use them properly. I taught trainers how to use them properly, with certain diets, certain workout programs. So the mistake Major League Baseball made was they could have gotten steroids out of the league completely. They would have just come to me. I would have told all the players, listen, we got to stop using this stuff. Major League Baseball is going to come down. But they decided to blackball me and thought that I was going to go silently into the night. That's not my character.
How do you feel about baseball promoting steroid use after it came in?
I don't think they verbally or vocally promoted it. They just allowed it. And they knew, of course, early on that the players were using PEDs, using steroids, the whole combination. I think Major League Baseball got pissed off when all these records were being broken. The peers got pissed off. The old baseball players who never used PEDs got pissed off when, you know, people were hitting 50, 60, 70 home runs on the regular. And, you know, the salary structure kind of fractured also and you know, incrementally went up two or three or four times. And I think that's when Major League Baseball said, wait, this is enough. We have to send a signal to the players. Stop using PEDs. The best way of doing it is by blackballing Jose Canseco. Perfect. It was a perfect scenario.
Do you regret using steroids and introducing them to the game?
I do not, because back then it wasn't against the game. It was a product that was allowed. We had no idea exactly what it did, how it was going to augment an athlete, how it was going to make you bigger, faster, stronger. Major League Baseball knew we were using it. Major League Baseball knew it was spreading like wildfire, and they allowed us to use it. So back then, really, there was no indication, any way, shape, or form, that PEDs or steroids were illegal in Major League Baseball.
How do you feel about the fact that you are blackballed? Like, do you have the desire yourself to be honored by Major League Baseball, to be included back in their family, or no?
I do not, no. Major League Baseball doesn't make me as a person or an individual.
What does make you as a person?
Me, being Jose Canseco. As a matter of fact, even if Major League Baseball says, Jose, some way, shape, or form, we're going to induct you in the Hall of Fame, I would turn it down. I'll tell you why. Simply, Major League Baseball is the most hypocritical institution on this planet, because there are players right now that have been instituted in the Hall of Fame who are in my book, who use PEDs, and they know it. Listen, it's simple. Common sense of mathematics and science will tell you this. Either let everyone in that use PEDs or let none, period. But don't be hypocritical. Don't cherry pick. Don't hand pick and put whoever you want. That's pathetic. And Major League Baseball and its hypocrisy is pathetic.
Who was in your book who's in the Hall of Fame?
I'm not going to talk about players anymore. That's passe. That's way gone. There's no sense in reviving that. Major League Baseball knows what I'm talking about. It's 100% accurate.
Are you unhappy with that, though? Like, shouldn't you be in the Hall of Fame, too, then, if that's the way they're going to do things?
Absolutely not. No, I should not be in the Hall of Fame. I'll tell you what, my numbers do not mandate that. But the people like the Maguires, the Sammy Sosas, the Rafael Palmeiros, the Bonds, the Roger Clemens, are you kidding me? It's a joke. Why are those people not in the Hall of Fame? It's sad. It's sickening. It's disgusting. And to me, Major League Baseball's hypocrisy is disgusting. People know what I'm saying is 100% balls on accurate. The problem is that we can't handle the truth.
Do you watch baseball today?
I do not. I never watch sports. I'm not a couch potato. I'd rather be outside doing something physical, working out, not staying home, laying in bed. No, that's not my character, to sit there and watch some type of sporting event for 2 or 3 hours.
What's your take on baseball, having juiced baseballs now? Did you know that when you played, or is that new?
Well, my view of baseball is simple. It's gotten a little bit out of control. This thing with the tie game, because of time restrictions, putting a guy on second base, we should do that in softball. That's a joke. I think baseball went a little bit too far. You know, I love the instant replay, because that takes the umpires who are on the take, who have been paid off by other institutions, other individuals, gamblers, mafia, whatever you want to call it, out of the game. So I'm glad for some changes in Major League Baseball, but for others, they went too far. I don't think Manfred knows exactly what he's doing to allow some of these ridiculous changes. Listen, you can't put a time restriction on Major League Baseball. That's not the way it was structured. If not, it wouldn't be baseball. It would be something else.
Would you want to be the commissioner of baseball? Do you have any ideas to improve the game right now?
Well, you know, I really don't get into the game that much. I really don't watch that much. I just know some of the changes are just ridiculous, especially that one from second base. Are you kidding me? That changed the game historically around, because it gives players less at-bats, less opportunities to break or set records or to augment their actual stats. Also, this thing with a doubleheader, 7-inning doubleheaders now, are you kidding me? What are these people thinking about? It's just that, you know, it's just gotten a little bit too far. It's gotten a little bit too comical. It's just overkill to me.
More to come with Pozank and Senko. In just a moment, stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Jose Canseco, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Jose, a few more questions before we finish up. First off, did Mark McGwire cork his bat before every game?
No, see, that was a dumb joke that people actually believed it.
What's the truth?
I mean, that's like saying he injected himself before every game. That's a dumb joke because he would blow up like a balloon. You just don't do that. So I think people have to differentiate facts from fiction here. And ironically enough, I don't think some people have the common sense to figure that out.
Well, do you feel like you're misleading some people by putting this out there, or no? Don't you feel like you have a responsibility to tell the truth?
Listen, on Twitter, it doesn't say, okay, this Twitter account's based on facts. No, I do not. No, that's ridiculous.
Let me ask you this. What's something you did during your career that no one still knows about?
That I did during my career no one knows about?
Yes.
I don't know. I couldn't even tell you. I think I was pretty normal in some cases. In some cases, outlandish. I stood out. I don't know.
And Jose, before we finish up today, last question. Why should you feed the roaches if you're in jail?
Well, poor things. And it's a true story. I was in jail for about, 4 or 5 months. And under my bed, this one, true story, people, you can't make this shit up. One large roach came out, and I would feed him some bread that would have some leftover from my bologna sandwiches. And he'd take it and eat it and walk away. A couple days later, here comes the same roach. And here comes a smaller one and some smaller ones, like a family. So I kept feeding this poor thing. Listen, every animal has the right to survive and live. And this poor thing, all he was trying to do was feed his family. So I kept on feeding him.
Jose, thank you so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure to have you on, and best wishes moving forward. Can't wait to see you back in the ring.
All right, guys. The truth hurts, and it always will.
Great talk there with Jose Canseco. That'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Jose Canseco himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalbin, Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Here are the Turtles!